1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And now Phil explains the bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet.
Hey, Mr. Hendry, how are you?
I'm good, Frodo. How are you?
I'm very good. Mr. Hendry?
Yeah?
See,
why are you looking at Bud again? See, that's... Bud, get out of here.
No.
Ask the question, Frodo.
Mr. Hendry, I've got a question.
Why are you looking at him? Bud, get out of here.
I'm not doing anything.
Why are you looking at him? Ask the question that we rehearsed. And now Phil explains the bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet. Ask the question we rehearsed. You're looking at... Get out of here, Bud.
All right. Mr. Hendry, why did you say to Bud that with any luck this season you wind up like John Ritter?
I didn't say...
Yes, you did. You said it. You dirty little... Ow!
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Well, if I said it, I didn't want to repeat it on the air. Why do you keep looking at him? See, this is the whole thing. You're getting with the puppet before the show, and you're telling him, oh, ask this one instead. It'll embarrass him.
Don't you realize you're talking about something that's on the end of your hand?
Yes, I...
Well, Mr. Hendry, why'd you say that?
If I said that... Well, I guess I have to explain it now, huh?
Yeah, otherwise you'd be a liar.
I was probably very depressed. I didn't mean to say it. I apologize.
I think it's weird you can't get a puppet to say what you want it to say.
You're looking at the puppet, and it's looking at you, and you're telling it what to say. Ain't that right, Frodo?
No.
You're a lying, stinking...
Don't rip my head off, Mr. Hendry! You murdered it! You murdered the puppet!
That's right. That's right. And you'll never be able to tell it stuff again.
I'm calling Mr. Hall.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to hear that guy on the air. I ain't putting him on the air if you call him.
Boy, you'll be fired then.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. I don't know what to say. If I made a comment like that, it certainly was not intended to be repeated on the air. I was probably in a very depressed state. I don't know. Age, you know, you sometimes just... Crazy things come through a man's head, and I'm sorry.
I can explain why you killed a puppet.
I attacked the puppet because it was looking at Bud and getting its directions from him. Now, if that sounds insane to you, I guess it is. I guess I'm just a little mad these days. That's it. I'm a little mad.
Turning the music up ain't gonna help. He was my friend.
Oh, shut up. Who is your friend?
Look, his head's all ripped off.
That's right. Here, take him in the back and sew him back. Sew his head back on. Have yourself a friend. After you sew his head on, then you can have a conversation with him. Will you turn that off? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. And, no, everything's good. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. You know, I got to take my physical. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what I was thinking. I got to take my physical for NBC this week. And, well, a man starts thinking of mortality. I don't know why. I'm very dramatic. What the hell? Anyway, got to take the physical, and then you do that, and then you go and you do the show. It's as simple as that. I'm healthy, relatively speaking. But we will start, you know, doing the show at the end of the month, the TV show. With any luck, it'll be a success. It'll be a big hit, and I'll be away from you, Dickman, forever. So anyway, congratulations to the Angels, and also we went out and saw the University of Southern California on Saturday. That was fun. Got up there on the sunny side of the Coliseum with no hat and no sunblock. Yeah, man. If you guys have ever seen the Coliseum on television, you ever watched any games that are at the L.A. Coliseum, you'll notice that when you're watching that game, the stands that you're looking at, the grandstands, the seats, they're always bathed in sunshine. That was where I was. I was on the sunny side of the street, baby, getting just cooked, man. So I was like, I was getting up every 5 because I didn't bring anything. I didn't, you know, like, I'm a bald-headed guy, man. You don't wear a hat. Your head is like a raw tomato. So I was getting up and splitting, going down, buying coffee, wandering around, talking to people. Go back, sit down, look at a game. Trojans try to lose that thing. Man, did they look bad on defense. And then I heard Carroll say, you know what? What do you want, man? We score 70 points in a game, and you figure if we don't score 70, it ain't enough. I think they got 45 points in that game. And that's not enough. So next week, it's Notre Dame. Now, that's an interesting game, the Notre Dame game. And I'll tell you why. Because everybody I know who, no matter where they're from, if they're Catholic, they're a Notre Dame fan. So, for instance, here, where you would logically be an SC fan, oh, no, 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 I'm rooting for Notre Dame. Why? Because I'm Catholic. Well, I'm Catholic. I don't care. I hope they lose every game. I don't think I'm going to burn in hell for that. Where's Harry, by the way? Harry's our, is he back in Chi-Town? Is he back there in She-Town? Well, you know, Harry's the Catholic here. He's a Chicago Catholic, so naturally Notre Dame. I understand that, but I'm from out here, man. I ain't going to root for no Notre Dame team. I don't care how Catholic I am. I don't care how many times they go to that Virgin Mary and at the end of every game. What's he called? She called Touchdown Mary or Touchdown Jesus? There's one of them over there, Touchdown Joseph. So that's the big game next week, and then it's UCLA at the Coliseum, and won't that be a lot of fun? Way to do it, Bruins. You won. I don't know who. Oh, yeah, Cal came back and beat them. And then we went over to one of the finest Mexican restaurants I've ever been at, called La Barca on Vermont. And it's a very favorite place by a lot of the students down there. This place is phenomenal. You got to go there, man. They got a burrito there. And, you know, my son kept saying to me, we went there to see Nick, and he said, you will not be able to finish this burrito. I said, look at me. Look at how fat I am. Are you kidding? He goes, you will not be able to finish the burrito. I said, well, I think you're wrong. So I ordered it. No, I couldn't finish it. But my son could. But the other son could. Son number two, he ate his and half of mine. Pretty decent margarita, nice crowd of people, fantastic joint, though, La Barca. So, you know, when in town, it ain't exactly what I would call Hollywood. It's not the West Side. There's a lot of palm trees there. In fact, there's quite a few people I would call
Mexicans
around there, but they're really nice folks. Place is great, man. And then we split there and driving, trying to get the hell out of L.A., man. One of the things, going to an SC Trojan game, you're leaving where I live out in Thousand Oaks. Okay, game's at 12:30. So what time do you think I got to get there? 10:30. Got to get there at 10:30. There's no way you go to the game. So that means I got to leave at 9:15 because I got to pick the Swede up because he parked his truck over at Gelson's off of Laurel Canyon. So we go, we get him. Now we got in the car. Now we're sailing down to the game. Now we get parked. Now we go into the game. And, of course, we don't go directly into the game. They're tailgating. So we go over and we visit some friends who are tailgating. And that's, of course, where I lose my cell phone because, like a jackass, I sat it down in the back of somebody's tailgate and then I just walked off and left it, went into the game, and halfway through the game, I don't know where my cell phone is. I think I lost it. We went back looking for it. Fortunately, my friend found it. So, she had it. So great. Anyway, get back in the car. We go and take Nick to lunch or take him to dinner. And then he's going back to the house with us. It's another 3 hours to get home because you're going up to 405. And I know what's best, right? I can't get onto that Ventura Freeway because the traffic is back about 6 miles. I'm going to go all the way down to 405, make a big U-turn, and go all the way around. Well, the time it took me to do that, man, I should have just been over in that lane. Finally get over there to the Laurel Canyon. I get off, drop off the Swede, get back in the car, get on a free. Freaking, we're gone for 12 hours. 12 hours. But it was worth it, man. Saw the kid. And, you know, and Maria was with the little girls with a slumber party. So we actually, you know, we were able to kind of tear it up a little bit. I mean, the house, you know, we had broads over. I'm kidding. I mean, we had, we played chess. Cool weekend. By the way, there's a picture of the four of us there at La Barca on our homepage, www.philhenryshow.com. You can see me and the Swede and everybody. We're sitting there having ourselves a couple of, you know, pops. In fact, you know, I'm a kind of margarita guy. If I have a margarita, I say this, give it to me on the rocks. Because I believe that there is a thing called manhood. Maybe I don't know. You know, it's not a big thing. I just would rather, if I'm going to drink tequila in any other manner other than just a straight shot, give it to me in a margarita on the rocks. And basically a margarita is lime juice and tequila. That's all it is. And a little bit of triple sec maybe. So when the Swede sits down next to me and says, I'd like it nice and frothy, I'm like, when did you swing over to the other end of the street? So you see those drinks in front of us, Mark? Look at that big frothy. Look at the Swede. He's got that look on his face like, say, this is great. God dang, man. That's a great place, though, man. It's on Vermont. Got to go there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We have kind of an interesting little thing coming up for you called, it's a little radio play, Jack of the Beanstalk, that we put together for you as an after-school thing. It's kind of it's our kids' moment on the show, and it'll star Margaret Gray, R.C. Collins, and Harvey Weierman, Harvey as the Giant. So that's coming up in a few minutes here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we've got a special with Margaret Gray, R.C. Collins, and Harvey Weierman. And we have audio that was sent to me. Apparently, Ashley Simpson was once again on Saturday Night Live, did not lip sync, sang, and sang rather beautifully. And we've got the audio on that, right, bud?
Yeah, I got it right here.
You ain't going to be screwing with me, huh?
No.
You messing with that puppet.
Oh, come on, man. Get a doctor.
All right, here it is. And apparently Ashley Simpson from Saturday Night Live singing rather beautifully, so I'm told. Get out of here with that. What is that?
That's what I was told.
Bull crap, man. It's Paul Robeson. That's Ashley Simpson, huh? Pretty good.
Yeah, I like it.
Ashley Simpson, ladies and gentlemen, from Saturday Night Live. Screwing around with it. Yeah?
You know, I find that so racist. I really do. And you wanted me to be a part of something on your program, Phil. I really have to think twice.
What is racist about it?
He don't plant taters. Do you honestly believe...
Don't you know that that's actually the song?
Actually the song from what?
I thought you were Mrs. Showbiz. Oh, yeah, yeah, you had an audition for the Big Valley. You lost out to Linda Evans, remember, for Audra? And
don't you be sarcastic with me. I'm listening to a lot of Ebonics, and I think it is so, so really untoward of you to make such racist statements.
It's in the song. He Don't Plant Taters is in the song.
Do you think that a man like Paul Robeson, a man who was a United Nations ambassador, a man who has...
He wasn't a United Nations ambassador. Somebody else was.
Oh, really? Who was that?
I don't know. Some other guy.
Some other black guy.
Yeah, some other black... I mean, some other...
You racist. I'll see you in hell. Oh, are you having fun with that? Listen to him. He might as well be wearing spats and spinning a parasol.
It's from that freaking show, man. What do you want from me?
Oh, what is that, all the slaves gathering around now and singing how happy they are to be out there in Massa's shacks? I guess Thomas Jefferson makes an appearance here, huh? Drops a scented handkerchief and says, well now, looks like we ought to have ourselves a football game. Say what?
Look, I'm telling you, why don't you turn it off, bud?
No, I'm not turning it off because that cow says.
Oh, I'm a cow, am I? We'll see whether or not I take part in your little Jack and the Beanstalk, and I've got your beanstalk.
Turn that off, will you, before I start bleeding from the ears? Not that I got anything against whatever that was.
Ashley Simpson.
Yes, Ashley Simpson on Saturday Night Live. Okay. That was about as lame as they get. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, taking a look at some of our news. Oh, I was reading this kind of cool thing. You ever heard of something called identification with the aggressor? By identifying with your aggressor, assuming their attributes, and imitating their aggression, crime victims cognitively transform themselves from the people threatened into those making the threat. This mental transformation allows the victim to achieve some feeling of strength in an otherwise humiliating situation. Now, we've probably heard of this as Stockholm Syndrome, but it was actually identified a long time before the kidnappings in Stockholm, Sweden, which lent their name to what eventually became called Stockholm Syndrome. But this notion of identifying with your aggressor has been known for a long time. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that people who are against the war in Iraq are actually identifying with the aggressors, Al-Qaeda, and are suffering from this very syndrome. And one more thing. Thank you. Excuse me, I was sneezing, and I didn't mean to do that. I'm just going to be punctuating everything I say tonight with Paul Robeson. I believe that the anti-war movement, what do you guys think about it? Isn't that a good idea? You know, these cats are all so humiliated by taking it right up the chute on 9/11 that they are identifying with the aggressors. Says it right here, see? By identifying with their aggressor, assuming their attributes, and imitating their aggression, crime victims cognitively transform themselves from the people threatened into those making the threat. This mental transformation allows the victim to achieve some feeling of strength in an otherwise humiliating situation. In short, when an aggressor sticks a gun in a person's face or kidnaps someone at knife point, often the victim's only chance for survival is to join the aggressor emotionally, as well as physically. Anything short of total cooperation likely will result in death, see? So what happens is the person that's trying to save you becomes somebody that you do not identify with, and you don't want to leave. You don't want to be with them. You want to stay with the aggressor. In addition to its cognitive utility, identification with the aggressor serves an important external function. With this defense mechanism, victims make an intuitive prediction regarding their aggressor's reaction to the bond. Instinctively, victims know that if they appease their aggressor, their chance of survival increases. All right. Word up. So you see, that's what's going down with a lot of those cats that are against the war. So the next time you have an argument with one of your people at work who keeps banging this thing about Bush, keeps banging all that crap about how he's responsible for Katrina, the earthquake in Pakistan, the fires in California, and every other form of disaster known to man, all you have to say is, oh, you got that victim identification problem. They'll start looking at you. Maybe they'll do one of these. You know, they went on to say. And then you can tell them, oh, I read up on it. Victim's aggressor syndrome. See, what happens is you guys identify with your aggressor. Now they'll say it's a lot of gobbledygook and they don't buy it and they might even try this. But I don't know. And by and by, they'll just sit there and they won't buy it. But it's a really cool way to kind of, and by the way, as long as we're talking about being bi, no, as long as we're talking about identifying with the victim, why is it the Chargers got to keep changing their uniforms every week? But I digress, man. Way to go, Pittsburgh. They beat the Chargers at San Diego, as San Diego comes out once again in powder blue uniforms. Wow!
Oh, my God. Lands in jail, get a little drunk. So, again, the African-American reduced to the drunken stereotype, laying around an alley, waiting for the liquor store to open. I'm Margaret Gray.
Lady in red.
Excuse me.
All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. I think she'll be back because we have our special after-school thing coming up here, Jack and the Beanstalk, which I think you're going to dig. It's a little late for after-school, but what the hell? Most of you kids are awake anyway, aren't you? I know how it is. We make our kids go to bed at 8:30, but they're the freaks of the school. The rest of you kids are up till 11 online. You're IMing. You're, oh, man. I don't even want to. One of these days, I'm going to tell your parents. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, The Phil Hendry Show presents its after-school special, Jack and the Beanstalk. Starring as Jack, R.C. Collins.
I'm Jack. I'm going to go and try to sell a pig.
And playing Jack's mother, Margaret Gray.
Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray, with a great deal of theatrical experience to bring to this production.
And as the giant, Harvey Wireman.
Yes, I'm Harvey Wireman. I'm the giant.
As we begin, Jack's mother is sending him off to the market with a pig. She wants him to buy some food by selling the pig or some kind of a thing that he took. I don't know what it was.
Oh, nice going.
I don't remember, okay? But you take something, so go ahead.
Jack, I want you to take this pig, darling, and take it to market and buy food. Food that we desperately need. Okay, Mom, I'll be back soon with the food.
And off Jack went down the road. Well, he got into town, and some guy, played here by Jeff Dowder, sold him instead some beans. So Jack didn't get any food, he got beans.
Yeah, what do you want?
Hey, listen, man, I got some beans here for your pig. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, I'll take it.
God, that's the easiest thing that's ever happened to me.
Thank you.
So Jack, like a Jack Ball, took the beans and went home with them. His mother was understandably rather upset.
What in the name of everything holy have you done, Jack? You've gotten beans? Beans? I wanted you to get food for the pig that I told you to sell. And these are beans. You idiot!
His mom took the beans and threw them out the window.
No, Mother, please! They may be magic and stuff. The guy I bought them from said so! Who did you buy them from? The guy looked a little stoned. He was also selling fake IDs. Holy Jesus.
Well, Jack went to bed very depressed, and so did his mother. But somehow, magically, through the night, the beans sprouted, and a huge beanstalk grew in the backyard, and Jack saw it the next morning.
Well, better get up.
Wow.
Yes, the beanstalk stretched way up into the sky, right through the clouds.
Look at that beanstalk! Man, I'll tell you, take a look at something like that, make a man's hands sweat.
Jack decided that he would climb the beanstalk and see where it went.
I'm going up this beanstalk.
Up he went, way, way up the beanstalk into the clouds.
Well, I think I'll take a break and have a sandwich. Hey, look, Mount Wilson.
Jack had his freaking lunch, and then he kept going up the beanstalk.
Okay.
And he finally came to a huge mansion in the sky. The beanstalk led to this huge mansion that was sitting on a cloud.
Hey, look, a huge mansion. It's sitting on a cloud in the sky.
I just said that part, man. You don't read that. You read your part.
Oh, look, the huge mansion. Well, there's a door. Maybe I ought to go in it. Sorry.
What do you got to get?
Yeah, I need some water. That's got it.
All right. So anyway, he sees the mansion and he says,
I think I'll go in. Maybe there's food in there. I don't know.
So Jack walked into the mansion and suddenly Jack heard big, heavy steps.
Where's my part?
You're right here after the big, heavy step.
Oh, okay. Fiendful Fifi. Fifi.
What?
What is it? What did you say?
Fifi. No, you're not reading it right.
Oh. Feel me from... What the name of Jesus is?
Hold cut. Cut the freaking music. What's the problem?
What do you mean, what's the problem? You got me reading Jack Ball material.
Jack...
Hey, wait, is this old man going to get...
What are you calling old man?
Hold on, Phil. This is Margaret.
Yes.
Is he having a problem with his lines?
Yes, he is. Fee-fi-fo-fum.
Well, what the hell does that mean?
That's what the freaking giant says, man, okay? Now I gotta go all the way back and start it all over again.
No, don't do that. Let's just pause, everyone, okay? I've been in theater, I know. Let's pick it up, and then later we'll cut it together.
We're doing this live.
Oh.
Go ahead, man. Read your line. Fee-fi-fo-fum.
Who, me?
Yes!
Hey, let me tell you something. You yell at me, brother, you do that to my face. And guess what? You won't have a face. I'll peel yours off and keep it in my bathroom in case I need it someday. If I want to be ugly.
Oh, okay. Whatever that meant.
Look at just...
Read the freaking line.
Somebody lead me in.
And then Jack heard big, heavy steps that hit the floor.
No, I'm sorry. Hold on for a minute.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
Hold on. Harvey, it's Margaret.
Yes, dear.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
I'm sorry. Fee-fi-fi-fi-fum.
I smell the blood of an Englishman.
Well, that's written right here, see?
All right, hold on, cut.
You know, my agent's listening to this, and if he doesn't...
Listen to this kid pulling a star act on me.
Hold on for a minute, R.C. Have you got it yet?
I got a line here that says fee-fi-fi-fi-fi.
Fi-fi?
It says hi-fi-fo-fum.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
Boy, do you sound like some kind of a retard. What is that?
It's in the story.
Harvey, it's fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
I need some water.
Oh, okay, man. Well, let's just take all night, okay? Why don't we just...
I need some water.
Get him some water, really. You know what? This is really... You're blowing it, man. I don't want any part of this project.
Hey, listen, kid. Big star. You ready?
Who?
You.
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay.
Then they heard big steps, man, and they were going down the hallway, and suddenly Jack heard the sound of the giant.
Fiend, fi, fo, fum. I smell your bum. No, I got...
Oh, you're doing that on purpose now, aren't you?
What?
You're trying to be funny now, see?
Look, Phil, I don't think he's trying
to... No, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell his bum.
What's wrong with that? It's just a little bit of a bit of humor.
Okay, that's... I'm done.
Phil?
I'm done. I'm sorry. This whole thing sucks.
What a jackass. All right, here. Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell your... I smell the blood of your...
Bum.
Bum.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Wow, it's a giant.
Yes, that's right. And I'm going to eat you for dinner. Get out of here, you piece of garbage.
And then Jack ran down a beanstalk, and his mom said, where were you?
Where have you been, darling? Mom, there's a giant way up on that beanstalk. Way, way up that thing.
And then Jack's mom said,
well, I guess I'm just going to have to climb up on top of it.
And then the giant said,
come on up.
And then Jack's mom mounted the beanstalk.
My goodness, isn't that one stiff beanstalk?
And then Jack thought the whole thing was funny.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I don't know. I don't think I can take another... Gray in my life, but apparently I've got Frank Gray standing on the line. He's got a story he wants to read. Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Okay, man. I'll talk to him, but I'm not exactly, you know. Okay. Get Frank on the line here. Frank, how you doing, brother? I understand that you have something that you want to read to us.
Yeah, I do, Phil. I wanted to read something to you. By the way, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, this is a great story. A crusty old sergeant major found herself at a gala event hosted by a local liberal arts college. There was no shortage...
Was this a crusty old major was a guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you always get that wrong? I don't understand.
It's nothing. I forgot about... Hold on, will you? It's gender confusion, folks. Go ahead, Frank.
Look, I don't like being put on hold by you, okay? Makes me want to say bad things about you. Telling people all week she was a real piece of work.
Yeah, okay, she sure was.
That's right. All right. minute. A crusty old sergeant major found herself at a gala event hosted by a local liberal arts college. There was no shortage of extremely young, idealistic ladies in attendance, one of whom approached the sergeant major for conversation. He said, "Excuse me, Sergeant Major, but you seem to be a very serious man. Is something bothering you?" "Negative, ma'am," the sergeant major said, "just serious by nature." Well, the young lady looked at her awards and decorations and said, "It looks like you've seen a lot of action." The sergeant major's short reply was, "Yes, ma'am, a lot of action." The young lady, tiring of trying to start up a conversation, said, "You know, you should lighten up a little, relax and enjoy yourself." The sergeant major just stared at him, and in a serious manner, too. Finally, the young lady said, "You know, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but when's the last time you had sex?" The sergeant major looked at him and replied, 1955. He said, "Well, there you are. You really need to chill out and quit taking everything so seriously. I mean, no sex since 1955. Isn't that a little extreme?" The sergeant major, glancing at her watch, said in her matter-of-fact voice, "You think so? It's only 21:30 now." See?
Yeah, that's great, man.
What's wrong?
Well, I mean, there's something taken away from it, because I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about a sergeant major and the broad that she's talking to.
Yeah, but when you say she and it's a guy, it bugs me.
You're a retard, you know that?
Yeah, okay, man. 1955. Well, it's 21:30 now. What is that, like military time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I get it. Well, whatever, man. Unfreaking real with all of the...
Take a little bit off the ears, Benny.
Will you get him out of there with a barber shop? Haven't had sex since 1955. It's only 21:30 now. So what is that? That's...
like 9:30 or something.
Oh, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I don't know what's going on, but the you know, there's been an earthquake in Pakistan, and we have not even come to the plate. We had an initial pledge of 500,000, and we finally have upped that to around 500 grand is what we initially pledged. Now we've upped it around 50 million, and the Pakistanis are a little upset, and I don't blame them. They're saying, "Hey, don't you want us to be your friends?" And, of course, we would respond, "Yes, we would like you to be our friends. That means we could go into your country and maybe look for bin Laden. You maybe would let us do that." Well, that ain't even going to begin to happen unless you start kicking in. Let's see that, Annie. Woo-hoo, let's go. Come on, baby. And you know that when you give $50 million to the Pakistanis, it's going directly to the earthquake victims. Oh, yeah! All right. That wasn't exactly Paul Robeson. I don't know what the hell's going on anymore, man. Oh, here's Paul. Is this Paul? Yeah, there he is. What the hell was that? So, according to this news report that I'm seeing on the internet, the gesture intended to make up for the resentment caused by the initial pledge, the gesture of $50 million, along with the British offering of £100,000, was labeled as peanuts by Qazi Hussein, the leader of the Pakistani opposition party, Jamaat Islami. It was greeted as a major boost, though, the $50 million, to the struggling relief effort. And they made the point, you know, if America wants to begin to even sniff better times with the Pakistani people and the government and maybe even capture bin Laden, we have to get that bread way up there, man. Let's get that number way up, you know? No, man. How about 200 grand? Nope. Wouldn't even get on my knees for that, man. Come on, how about a hundred? No. You got to get that number way up in the air, baby. So we got it up to 50 million, and maybe that's a start. But you see, once again, Bush. Bush is the problem. Why? Because he's cheap. Why? Because he won't give them 50 million. Don't you think that's a pretty good investment in maybe them coming to the table with bin Laden? And maybe not? As Paul Robeson said, all right. Now, don't forget our web address. If you think I'm being sarcastic, I'm kind of, but not really. Look, you know as well as I do that at the root of every problem, every single problem, is George Bush. And unless we can begin to back him into that corner, aha, you were cheap with those packies. That's what did it. First you cause the earthquake, then you cause Katrina, then you cause the fires, then you cause all kinds of mayhem, then you come up with $100,000, which only is going to piss them off. Well, then you come back with $50 million. Well, now they're going to be pissed off anyway because you insulted them with $100,000. So they'll take the $50 million and they go, yeah, thanks a lot. But if I were them, I'd spit on it while I spent it. In fact, I wouldn't even give it to the earthquake victims. I wouldn't even demean them. I would just spend it on another palace or another nuclear bomb. All right. Now, don't forget our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. And don't forget, we have a new feature at the top of our webpage, This Week in History. Click on that, and you'll see that in This Week in History, October 14th, 1977, Anita Bryant took one off the chin from a gay rights activist in Des Moines, Iowa. Click on the banner and see what we're talking about. She takes a full, it's a full shot, man. It's a full face load. We won't be right back after that comment. We'll never be back. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.